Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome again. Financial Fitness with Derek T. Billups Sr. on the Poets Without Limits Radio. Hope everyone had a great weekend. I had a great weekend. As I tell you every week, kind of give you an idea of some of the things I've been doing and some of the places I was, and just kind of give you an idea of what was happening for me. Well, on Friday, November 11th, as I said, last week I was going to be at the Arthur's Cafe, which was at the Collective Mike Arts Cafe, 5010 Old York Road, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Had a great time there. Met some great authors. I'm going to mention some of them during the course of the show, and then hopefully you'll get an opportunity maybe to buy their books, maybe even get a chance to speak with them. And I think it was a great opportunity, a great venue. Again, the Collective Mike Arts Cafe at 5010 Old York Road, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. A great, great venue. It's a great opportunity to meet, as I mentioned, quite a few other authors. I think it was 10 authors there, so 9 including myself. So it was a great opportunity there, and so that was awesome. Then on Saturday, I was able to go to an event that was brought to my attention during the middle of the week. And it was at the Star of Hope Baptist Church in Philadelphia. And that was the men's conference. So I was there with my great friend, Dr. Paul Hopkins, doctor of naturopath, gentleman that does a lot of workshops with me with the finance, fitness, and health seminar. So I was there with Dr. Paul and some of the other men there at the Star of Hope Baptist Church in Philadelphia for their men's conference. So that was a great time. Was there for quite a while. Had a great breakfast. It was a great time. Meeting some good men there, and hopefully I get an opportunity to go back there and do a workshop. I wasn't a presenter. I was just there with my book, and they were very, very hospitable in terms of just allowing me to have my book on display. A lot of men supported me, so it was a great time there. And then just to keep you up to speed, we're going to be next Saturday. We're going to be at the Black Authors Conference at the Crown with Knowledge Book Club, and that's in Pennsauken, New Jersey, 6303 Westville Avenue. Again, the Black Authors Conference, Crown with Knowledge Book Club, 6303 Westville Avenue, Pennsauken, New Jersey. And that's Saturday, November 19th, 1 to 4 p.m. And also then that the 20th, which is that Sunday, I'm going to have a guest speaker on. She's going to be Ms. Nicole Renee of Nicole Renee Enterprises. Great young lady. She's a counselor. She does a lot of work with students in terms of helping them get into school, get into college. And you know, we always end our show. The last 10 minutes or so of our show is always geared towards college planning, college information. And so I met her at the Authors Cafe this past Friday. So she's going to be on with me again, Nicole Renee of Nicole Renee Enterprises. She's going to talk a lot about college planning, FAFSA, things of that nature. She's a guidance counselor, actually. So she will be able to give us some more information, even more than I give, and go a little more in depth. So we're very excited about having her on next Sunday, which will be November the 20th. So just wanted to give you a little heads up. Remember, you can always reach me at www.f4ff.net, financial fitness at f4ff.net, and area code 856-577-2903. Okay, so now we just finished our fifth week of the Financial Fitness Challenge. Remember, the first week was your position, second week was your credit score, third week your credit history, fourth week your team, your financial team, and fifth week, last week, was your opponent. And you would just take this whole week, work on understanding who is your opponent. And remember, last week we talked about, I kind of gave you who I believe was your number one opponent. And I believe it was you. So for me, it was about kind of discussing that. So maybe many of you maybe feel as though you are not your number one opponent. So you had all week to figure out who was your opponent. And not only now who your opponent was or is, what do you do to combat that? How do you handle your opponent? What strategies do you have to defeat your opponent? And so that's really where we are and what we want to do here for this week. So now we're on week 5. And, of course, I'll give you week 6 challenge, and then you'll work on that as we always do. You'll have the whole week to work on that, and when we come back next week, we'll kind of touch bases with that, and then from that on, we'll keep going. But your opponent, and as I mentioned, I believe it was you. Each individual happens to be their own or their worst, or even not even using the word worst, just happens to be your own opponent, your number one opponent, the number one person that is keeping you from succeeding at least to the level that you want. And those who are very, very successful will tell you that they always work on getting out of their way. And one of the things I learned later, the more I wanted to succeed, the more I had to pass things on, give things to other people. The more I want to be successful, the more I want to move forward, whether it be just successful in my finances, even now as I continue to grow in my finances, as I continue to evolve, in my finances and with my finances, I continue to use other people, which means I continue to get out of my way, which means I continue to get more information and more information. And what you find, whether it be sports, whether it be in school, whether it be your finances, no matter what it is, a lot of times you have to get out of your own way because you are your number one opponent. And so what we always attempt to do is, as you realize that, and, of course, the sooner you realize that, the better off you are. So what we constantly attempt to do with the challenge is give you the information. And again, remember, as we talked about it right in the beginning, even before we started the challenge, when we told you we're going to be we're conducting the challenge, is that one of the things we talked about is that I don't have all the answers. So what I'll do is I'll bring on other professionals to help you. And I'll bring on someone to help you to understand how you address you being your own opponent. We'll address it, and I'm addressing it now in an effort to allow you to say, okay, I am, what do I do? How do I get out of my own way? How do I reach out to people that I know that can help me to be more successful? And again, not necessarily just finances, although that's what we're talking about, but anything. Because those habits, those bad habits always trickle into all parts of your life. So those bad habits will continue to trickle in. So if it's in your finances, your marriages, if it's your sports, if it's your job, your church, no matter where it is, it will trickle in. So those bad habits, they just don't go away. They just don't stay in the corner right there. See, I'm only going to come out when we're dealing with your finances. Those habits continue to stay, and they trickle in to every part of your life. So it's important for us to make sure that as we deal with this, each one of our challenges, so if we know that now we're on week 5, your opponent, but those of you that are just joining us, when we talked about your position, I kind of went through it quickly, but when we talked about your position, and we're going to get back and we're just going to review each one after we take our first break, we're going to go over each one again. Because what I like to do is I always like to make sure those of you who are just joining, even if you don't get an opportunity to go on my site and pick up the shows, because on my website, you can go under the media section, and it'll have about 4 or 5 of the recent shows. So that way you can try to keep up. And, of course, if you don't keep up, you can always call me and get the information. But going back, when we come off the break, I'm going to go through each one of the challenges. Because for those of you that are new or just joining us, then what we want to do, we always want to make sure that you have a better understanding of what we're doing. Because sometimes when you jump right in, you just say, okay, we're on week 5, and then you say, okay, I heard him say week 1, week 2, week 3, week 4, but what was that about? What's the premise? What's the purpose behind those challenges? What's the purpose behind the title or for that specific challenge for the week? So we want to make sure that you do have a better understanding of it. And then, of course, you can also always go back and listen more. And, of course, it's always about you taking or being proactive about these challenges because it's about you. Particularly if it's about I don't know you, it's important for you to understand how to address them and tackle. And remember, we always talk about having that team because last week was about the team. And again, we're going to get into that, but it's important and it's vital for you to understand what we're talking about when we come to the opponent. Okay, so as we always do, we start off with the financial fitness challenge. We address that. I give you some information about where I'm at, what I'm doing. Then we just talk about some other things, other financial areas. We'll pick a topic. I'll give you some information on that. We'll take another break. Then we'll end, as we always do, we'll end on the college situation. Because I know that this is the time of the year kids are, they should be, particularly juniors and seniors, and most specifically seniors, should be preparing with those applications. And so we're going to get into that. I have a heart for that. You know that. And then we always talk about that. So we're going to continue to move in that direction. So, again, week five was your opponent. Those of you that have been following us every single week, you should have taken this week to address your opponent, address who that is, address what needs to be done. And then, of course, always contact me, whether it be email, Facebook, message me, whatever it is, call me to get more information about this so that you can put yourself in a better position to address it. So that's really where we are and what we want to do. So what we're going to do, we're going to take a short break, a quick short break, and then we're going to come back, and then we're going to go over each week, week one, week two, week three, week four, and five, talk a little bit about that, take a break, then come back again, talk about some specifics, some other areas. And then, of course, as we always do, as I say, close with the college playing situation, okay? Here we got all praises. Listen up.
Come on, here we go. One time.
Welcome back, Financial Fitness with Derek T. Billups, Sr. on the Poets Without Limits Radio. Welcome back, everyone, again. So let me give you some more housekeeping. Next Sunday, November 20th, we're going to have Nicole Renee Enterprises on. She's going to be joining us, hopefully talking about some whole college planning. She has some great strategies, and she's a counselor, and she's going to be able to give all of us some information about FAFSA, the audience. I'm just excited about having her on. Everyone knows that I spend the last 10 minutes of my show focusing on that. She's going to come in. Hopefully she can confirm some of the things that I've been saying and hopefully fill some of the gaps up, some of the areas that I've been missing. So I'm happy to have her on. I'm honored to have her on. And so I'm sure that she's going to give you some information and give us some information that I've been missing and then confirm some of the things I've been saying, which is always good. Remember, I don't have all the answers. I've told you from the beginning, we're going to make sure that we always bring other professionals on, other financial professionals on that can help fill the gap. And particularly with areas that I'm not a specialist at, they come on and they give you the information that's needed and that's necessary. So I just wanted to make sure again, so that's Ms. Nicole Renee, all of Nicole Renee Enterprises. That's next Sunday, November 20th. And then Saturday, November 19th from 1 to 4 p.m., we're going to be at the Black Authors Conference. That's Crown with Knowledge Book Club, 6303 Westfield Avenue, Pennsauken, New Jersey. So you can look on my site, continue to look on my website, look on Facebook. You'll see the post for that. So that should be a great time as well. Always looking forward to meeting new authors and new people, just getting some more information, some insight what's been going on. So, again, I'm going to make sure that you guys hear about some of the authors that I met Friday, some great authors, a whole bunch of them. So I'm going to mention some of them, and if you go on my Facebook, you'll see some of those authors that were there on the 11th, November 11th, at Collective Mike Arts Cafe. So just wanted to know. All right, we're right back to the Financial Fitness Challenge, 1, week 5. But as I said, we're going to review weeks 1 through 4, go over week 5 a little because we spent the first 7 to 10 minutes on week 5. So let's make sure, particularly for those of you that are new, we want to make sure that you are just joining us. We want to make sure that you have an understanding of what we're doing, what our purpose is here on a Financial Fitness with Derek T. Billups Sr. and the Financial Fitness Challenge. The challenge is designed. Its sole purpose is designed to challenge you. I mean, that's simple. It doesn't get any simpler than that. It's designed to challenge you. It's designed for you to take a week, take that challenge for that week, and do everything you can for lack of a better word, master it. And at least get all the information or as much information as you possibly can get for that challenge so that you become more comfortable, better at it, solve it, whatever, and then continue to move from there. And the idea is to, when you finish after week 8, you're in a better financial condition than you were when you started. Remember, we always talk about position being a physical state, condition being a state of mind. We always talk about that. And so we want to make sure that you're in a better situation when you finish, a better condition when you finish. So week one of the Financial Fitness Challenge was your position, your financial position. And what we talked about is making sure that you understood that you had to be transparent with yourself, putting everything down on the table, letting it sit there, make sure you say, this is what I don't know, this is what I don't have, this is what I know I should, I'm not sure about it. Putting it all down on the bed, on the table, on the paper. I don't care what you do. Just get it out and get it all out. Shake it up. And then that's how you become transparent. That's how you become more aware of where you are and understand what your financial position is. And at that point, it is a physical state. And so that's what we want to do. And that's what the position is, just really initially, just to get everything out. Get everything out. And, of course, as we always talk about, we'll hit that in week number 4. And then week 2, we talk about your credit score. We all know about that number. So I wasn't telling you anything that you didn't know in terms of a credit score number. We know that. But the key is understanding I have this number. How does this number affect the things that I want to do? How is it affecting what I'm doing now? Is it preventing me from doing anything? If it's better, can I do more? And of course, we all know that. But the key is, again, about being transparent, having it in front of you, getting to understand it's there, what do I do, this number, and what does this number mean? What does this number truly and really mean to you? Is this number tangible? And if it's tangible, what do I do to make it work for me? What do I do to get that number on my side? What do I do to turn that number, if it's a 600, make it look like a 6,000? So it's vital that we make sure that we understand that there's a number, how does it affect me, how can I use it to my advantage, is it keeping me from something, is it diverting me, what is it really doing? I know the number. Of course, I know the number. I see the number. But how do I work with that number? Then we move to week three, which is your credit history. And your credit history is your history. And again, I continue to give this example, this analogy. It's to me, it's easy. It's relatable. We've all dealt with this. It's not anything that, you know, if it's, it has to work for everyone. And one of the things, as I said, if you're in a class and you thought that when it was time for your grades and you got a grade and your teacher gave you a B and you thought you should get an A, and then your teacher says to you, or you go to your teacher and say, I thought I should have gotten an A, and he or she says, well, this is what happened. Your grade is broken into four areas: your homework, your classwork, your quiz, and your test. And you take those four, 25%, 25%, that's broken down in four areas that give you 100%. And he or she says to you, well, you did great on your test, great on your quiz, but your class participation was poor, and your homework was poor. So now, with your class participation not being up to par, and you're missing homework, that's what brings your grade down. So now, when you ask your teacher, well, why did I get a B, he or she can say to you, this is why. These two errors was what was holding or kept your grade from being an A and moved it to a B. It totally affected that. Then a B is good, but a B is not an A. That's your history. So whatever that grading or marking period was, that was your history. So you had a certain amount of tests, a certain amount of quizzes, a certain amount of homework, and, of course, class, you class every day, class participation. And that's how, that was your history for that marking period. And that's the same thing with your credit history. It's all built on what you're doing over a certain period of time. And then, of course, we know that it then ultimately affects what? It affects your credit score. So that's what your history, is built up. And we know what the word history means, but we also need to know how it affects what we're doing. How does it apply? You know, how does it actually apply to what we're doing? How do I control it? How do I change it? For the good and for the bad. What do I do to make it good again, and how do I get off things that are bad? So the idea, the concept of understanding where we are when we get that history does affect our score. So we need to know that. We need to understand the correlation between the score and the history. And then ultimately, when we understand the correlation between the score and the history, then we understand why we're in the position we're in. So a lot of times the history has to do with the bad habits that we were talking about. And those bad habits go right to your score. And the scores then go right to the position you're in. So that's what we want to make sure that we're all on the same page with that. And then we talk about your team. Because once you realize where your history is and your score is and how your position is, because you're very tangible, now how do you get out of that? How do you crawl from under that? And so we talked about your financial team. We talked about the kinds of people that can help you. We talked about the financial advisor, the banker, the CPA or accountant, your attorney, the insurance agent. Now, let's talk about life insurance. I'm talking about homeowners insurance, car insurance, property insurance. If you have business insurance, credit specialist, the mortgage lender, real estate agent, a coach, a mentor. Anyone, any professional that can help you to solve your current financial issues. That's what they're there for. That's what we want them there for. That's what they're there for. They're there to help you to solve those problems that you may not be able to do. Now, you may have gotten there on your own. And some of those problems and issues you can solve on your own. But that's what I was talking about before. Understanding, and that's what number five comes in. Understanding when you are your opponent and how you're getting in your way. Get out your way. Let those people who can help you, help you. I was at the men's conference yesterday, and we were talking to a gentleman, and he was talking about his credit and getting his money together and things. He was talking about my book. He was looking at it. He said it looks good. He was just talking about all kinds of things, and then he put the book down, and he was saying something and trying to do it, and I said, you know, you're worried about the price. I said, don't let a dime hold up a dollar. He said, what do you mean? I said, don't let the dime hold up a dollar, because if this book costs you $15, but the information in it can save you $1,500. You just allow $15 to cost you or to cost you $1,500. So that was a dime holding up a dollar. And this is just $15 holding up $1,500. So don't say you can't get these professionals because it may or may not cost money. Everything doesn't cost money. Every professional doesn't cost money. Everyone doesn't cost money. And then a lot of times it costs to ask questions. If it does, it doesn't cost you to ask them, does it cost money? Because you'll never know until you ask. Put your financial team together. Get out your way, number five. Get out your way. You're your own opponent. Get out your way. Let people help you that have the expertise and the time to help you. And then down the expertise, the time, the knowledge, everything they need to help you. Give you a strategy. Help you set goals. Help you do the things that you need to do so that you, as you have those bad habits, move away from them bad habits, get into good habits, and those good habits start to take precedent. And what we always talk about here is always having a firm financial foundation. Because if you don't, then you will always go back to the bad habits. I don't care what happens, you will always go back to the bad habits. So we want to make sure that you have a clear understanding of those challenges. So it's your position, your credit score, your credit history, your team, and this week's what's your opponent. Okay? And then next week is going to be week six, your budget. Simple, right? This is a little simple stuff. Your budget. Now, how many of you have it? How many of you have a tangible one? One that you can use, one that is visible, one that helps you with your every month situation. One that helps you to understand, okay, this is my expenses, this is my income. One that is stating the things that are obvious. So that's what we want you to do. So that's week six. So again, week one, your position. Week two, your credit score. Week three, your credit history. Week four, your team, your financial team. Week five, your opponent. Who is your opponent? And we always already decided that it was you, your number one opponent. And then week six, just preparing a regular old budget. Just repairing a budget. Okay, that's what we're going to do. Right? So that's the 6 week. It's 8 week challenge, but this is the 6 week of the financial fitness challenge. So that's week six. Not simple, I know, but that's what your challenge is. So take all week, get one. You go on my site to get one. You can go anywhere and get a budget that you can work on, but you need to have one. All right, we're going to take a short break, and you can listen to the song, Thank You, Lord.
Hello. My name is Derek T. Bill.
The promise shall be revealed.
Your voice, oh God,
teach me,
so I may know your will.
Your way,
the closer I get to you,
closer,
the promise shall be revealed.
The promise shall be revealed.
Your voice, oh God,
by now,
so I may know your will.
That was Teach Me Your Voice. Okay, now, not all praises, but Teach Me Your Voice. Again, some housekeeping real quick. Saturday, November the 19th, 1 to 4 p.m. at the Black Authors Conference, Crown with Knowledge Book Club, 6303 Westfield Avenue, Pennsauken, New Jersey. Group of authors there. Also next Sunday, November the 20th, Nicole Renee of Nicole Renee Enterprises, young lady will be on talking about, again, college planning, FAFSA, all the great information that parents and students needs to in order to be able to make a great transition from high school to college, and also hopefully give some strategies and everything how to be preparing. And she can hopefully confirm some of the things I talk about and then fill up some of the holes and fill some of the holes and gaps based on, you know, some of the things I may miss. And I'm sure I've missed some things. I'm sure of that, and I'm sure that she will be able to fill some holes there. As I said, I wanted to mention some of the authors that I was with on Friday, November 11th at the Collective Mike Arts Cafe, which is at 5010 Old York Road. These young men and young ladies, they were great. So one was Adina Travis. She was there. Ja'Kira Stevens, Richard Sutton, David Simmons, Mitchell Chance, Nicole Renee. Young lady was there, the one that's going to be next Sunday. She was there. Jeanette Walker, Ulysses Pratt, Sonia Lindsay. So we had some great authors there. Okay, they were great authors. So if you hear a name that you know you're familiar with, but you've seen them on Facebook or something, support them. Support them. Get their books. They have the books available, so go to the website again or go to Facebook. You know, hopefully they'll have a Facebook page, and I know most of them do. You can go to their Facebook, message them, try to order their book. Great authors. Learned a lot about each and every one of them on Friday, so give them a shout-out, get their books, support. Continue to support them. So, again, thank you for that. Now, let's get right to every time I'm out, book signing, workshop, conference or something, someone asks me something, I wind up building a conversation on a topic, on a subject. And it's a lot of times, if it's, no matter what it is, it leads right up to Sunday. So even if it happens Sunday and I'm not able to put it on the show, I can put it on the next show. I can bring it up on the next show the following week. And so yesterday, again, I'm talking to this gentleman at the men's conference at the Star of Hope Baptist Church in Philadelphia, and he starts talking about life insurance. So I said, well, man, I always have some information. To go to my website, I talk a lot about life insurance. And I know some of my shows, I covered life insurance 10 to 15 minutes, not a long time, but I covered life insurance. And I'm going to do a lot more with life insurance. Because particularly in the African-American community, it's usually just used for burial and not for some of the other things, not used as a legacy. And that's what him and I started talking about. How do you use it as a legacy? How can it be? And the funny thing was also asked at the Authors Cafe Friday night. So two nights in a row, it was talked, and that question was asked to me about life insurance and about legacies. And so it's a great way. It's a great way to leave a legacy to your family. I'm not even going to get into specifics. I'm just going to talk just quickly about that conversation, about the conversation that both of those men asked. And ironically enough, it was men who asked about that. It wasn't the women. It was men who asked about that. Well, of course, it was only men yesterday, but on Friday night, there were men and women there. And both men asked about leaving a legacy and how can we use life insurance. Isn't life insurance a good way to leave a legacy? Well, life insurance is a great way to leave a legacy. Obviously, it's not the only way to leave a legacy, but it's an excellent way to leave a legacy. Because obviously, when you pass, those dollars go directly, to your beneficiaries. Without any hesitation, all you have to do is prove, have the documentation to prove death, and that those funds go directly to your beneficiaries. But the key to that is you want to make sure that the people you're leaving the money to have the ability to handle that large sum of money. So the things that you've taken years to build, they don't lose in a couple months. So that's one. That was what we were talking about. The legacy is one thing. Using life insurance, retirement plan, all these things. Yes, they leave a legacy. Your kids may get it. Your grandkids may get it. Your spouse may get it. You want to make sure that whoever gets it, that they have an understanding of how to handle those things. And that's what we want to make sure. We don't want to leave it and just leave it to anybody and literally just leave it there and then they get it and they're going to get $100,000, $200,000, $300 million, whatever they may get. They don't know how to pass it on and leave it and utilize it in a way in which you want to use it. So life insurance is a great way to leave a legacy. Okay? And it may be the easiest way initially. Of course, it's not the only way, but it's a great way. And so we got into more things in terms of how much you should have and all those things. It's difficult to do that when you're actually not sitting with someone and really getting an understanding of where they are in terms of, you know, what position they're in physically, what position they're in, and how we can work on that so we can change their condition. So we want to make sure of that, but the reality of the matter, they had great questions about that, and I was honored that they were in a position to talk about leaving a legacy. And can we use life insurance to do that? And absolutely you can do that. And you shouldn't just have enough just to be buried. Or just because I know I have $25,000 left on my house, just enough to pay off my house. The house can be the legacy too, but the reality of the matter is if you're going to leave some insurance, you want to make sure that insurance is something and is adequate enough so that your family continue to move forward and move on. And what that amount is, I can't say because I don't know, but you want to make sure. And what kind of insurance, what's the best kind, whether it be permanent insurance, whether it be term insurance. And I said permanent and term. I didn't say whole life and universal or single premium. I didn't say any of those things. I didn't say what kind of term. I just said term and permanent. Because it's important for you to then speak with your professional to help you to understand what's best for you and your family at the particular time. But again, I'm really just talking about two conversations that I had, Friday and Saturday, two different men, two different ages, but talking about the same thing, same view, using life insurance as a legacy. So when I talk about life insurance to myself, you go through and listen to some of the shows, you'll hear life insurance. And so we want to make sure that if you don't have it, you need to get it. So we want to make sure. So it was just important for me to talk quickly about that because those two, I actually forgot about the gentleman asking the same question on Friday. But the gentleman asked the question on Saturday. And that stuck with me, and that resonated with me. And then just talking, I just remembered that a young man asked the exact same question on Friday. Two different environments, two different age groups, same concern, same issue, same thought pattern. And that's what we need to be. That's our culture. They were both African-American men. One about 65, one about 35. Both had the same mindset. And for a guy like me who sits in the middle of that, that's awesome. That's awesome. Because I know the older gentleman, the more experienced man of 65 or something, maybe probably his kids were grown and older, and he has grandchildren, so he's thinking in that manner. The gentleman of 35, his kids were younger, maybe had not reached, you know, high school and or college, so he's thinking about that as well. So two different spectrums, two different times in their life, but thinking about the same thing. Awesome. Awesome, awesome men. So I want to take a quick break again before we move on. I love to end the song, end the show on this song. I'm not going to end the show, but it's going to be my last break. I love this song. So listen up, and then we'll come right back. When we come back with Financial Fitness with Derek T. Billups Sr. on the Poets Without Limits radio, when we come back, we're going right into the college planning section, talk a little bit about that. Talk a little about that. Also, remember, on next Sunday, November the 20th, we're going to have Miss Nicole Renee of Nicole Renee Enterprises. She's going to come on, talk a little bit about the whole concept of college planning and FAFSA, and just fill in some of the gaps that I missed because I know I will miss things. because I only go on for about 10 minutes. So she's going to come on. I'm going to give her the whole hour. She's going to break some things down to us, and then we're going to keep that on my website so you can always get it, always refer back to it, send it out, put it on Facebook. So I'm excited about her coming next Sunday, or, you know, calling in next Sunday, November the 20th. Again, Nicole Renee Enterprise of Nicole Renee Enterprise. So she'll be on with us. It's going to be a great time. So listen up. The song is Stand Up by Pastor Hersey Lee Cole.
Come on, y'all ready for this one? Listen.
Because of rage,
yeah.
We are both praise to you. And
listen, come on now. Sometimes it gets heavy.
In November, most schools have an early application time. So as we get further in, we'll talk about other specific topics in terms of the schooling, but right now this is early application time. And so if you're listening, parents, and your son or daughter is very interested in going to school and want to go to school and applying, this is the time for them to start to apply. Now, of course, they should have some schools in mind, and I know a lot of times kids don't know and don't exactly know what school they want to go to, but you need to get them to try to zero in on some schools, 5, 6, 7 schools. I have my kids do 10 schools. Zero in on those schools and decide where they want to go, and now start to complete the application. Contact the schools, call, email. If you're close enough to a school that your son or daughter may be interested in, go there. Get the application there. If you can, complete the application there. There's usually fees that go along with these applications. Now, if you're at a college fair or you're with your counselor in school, a lot of times there are places that you can go where there's a number of schools that they come together, and it allows you to complete the application. And if you can't complete it there at the fair or whatever, then what happens is they'll give you a waiver. So once you complete the application, if it's online, they'll give you a waiver pen or something. And if it's a paper one, then they'll actually give you a waiver form that you complete, mail in with your application, and then you don't have to worry about the fee. So there's always a way to circumvent or get around or eliminate the fee if you get involved. So that's what's important for us, is to make sure. The next thing with these applications, you need to complete everything on those applications. Complete the application completely. Let me say that again. That's a double. Complete the application completely. Don't leave anything blank. Don't leave anything. And if you're unsure, call someone. Call the school. Talk to the admissions counselor. Talk to your guidance counselor at school. But if you're unsure, do not send it in if you're unsure, whether it be paper or whether it be online. Because this is what's going to happen. If you send it in incomplete, they're going to send it back. Or they're going to contact you and say, we have your application on hold. We're waiting for more information. We need answers to questions 9, 20, 17, 18, whatever. They need answers to those questions. So what does that mean with your application if it's on hold? That means if my application came after yours or right behind yours, then they're going to move on to my application and start answering and start looking at my application for admission and keep your application there until you send the other information in. Well, that could have been 3, 4, 5, 10, 20, 30 people that went ahead of you because your application is incomplete. So we want to make sure that application is 100% get it in as soon as possible. Find those dates out. You have an application in front of you, and if for some reason that application doesn't see you, or it's online, and some reason, somewhere you can't sign, again, call and say, when does the early application process end? These schools now, you have to write an essay, you have to get referrals. There's a lot of information a lot of times you have to get. It's not just fill out the application and walk away. You have to get multiple pieces of information in order to make that application complete. So don't send it in without the essay if they require an essay. Don't send it in without the 3 referrals if you need 3 referrals. Because what happens with the 3 referrals or the essay, what happens is if the application is there, they put the application to the side. And sometimes you'll send that information in afterwards. And I've seen this happen. Well, someone else gets the application and holds it. Then another staff member gets the referrals and the essay, and they hold it. So now someone else has your application, and then the other person has your your referrals, and the other information. And it happens all the time because why? Because of the time of the year, they're getting a lot of applications, and so they're moving. They're doing whatever they can to complete, look at them, get them in, accept, reject, and move on. So now your application is maybe between two people who at some point may not know that they have the piece of information that's needed. So the person that has your referrals and essay may think, well, I'm waiting for the application. And, of course, the person that has your application is now waiting for your referral and your essay. So that's why you want to send it together, send everything together. Get it done. If it means that you have to wait an extra day or two, we'd rather you wait an extra day or two, but have everything you need and send it in all at one time. Now, I'm going to have Ms. Nicole Renee come next Sunday and talk about it. She may say something different. But this is my history and my experience. When you send it all in at one time, they don't have to wait for it, look for it, put it aside, hold it, and then hopefully that you give it to them and it all works itself out. We don't want that. So this is the time of the year, November. Find out where you want to go. Get it down. Get the information from them. Find out when that early application process begins and ends. Find out what the fees are. Find out if you can, if there's a waiver, can you get a waiver? And if the school is close enough, find out if you can go to the school and fill out the application. And if you do go to the school, make it unannounced visit. So you can go to the school, go to the admissions counselors, say, this is my name, I'm interested in coming to the school, can I get an application, can I complete it here? If I complete it here, is there still a fee? Then if you see there's some things you need that you don't have right there in front of you, then, of course, you take it home with you, complete it. But go on a Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. Why? Because if you go on a Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, you get an opportunity to see the real school. Kids are there. They're moving back and forth between the cafeteria, classes, all those kind of things. It's a nice day. They're outside. So all those things are important. As opposed to going on a Friday, when kids, if they don't have class, they leave, they go home, they go away for the weekend, or they go somewhere and hang out on the weekend so you don't see it. If you go on a Monday, some kids don't have class on Monday, so they make it a long weekend. They don't come until later on in the afternoon as opposed to being there first to go to class. So you want to get the full look of the full student population. And usually that's during Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So that's, again, just remember, this is the November, this is the early application time. So start looking at that, getting your schools together, getting things on point. Now, remember, this Saturday, November the 19th from 1 to 4 p.m., I'll be at the Black Authors Conference, Crown with Knowledge Book Club, 6303 Westville Avenue, Pennsauken, New Jersey. Also on Sunday, November 20th, Nicole Renee of Nicole Renee Enterprises will be on to talk about college planning and FAFSA and all those great things. Remember, you can get my books, Are You Making a Living or Making a Life, and Changing Your Condition, Not Your Position. You can get those on my website at www.f4ff.net. You can also reach me at financialfitness@f4ff.net or call me at area code 856-577-2903. It's been another great week, great session, great episode of the Financial Fitness with Derek T. Billups Sr. on the Poets Without Limits Radio. Remember, every Sunday on Live Talk Radio, you can catch me from 8 to 9. I'll be either by myself or I have great guests. So put it on your schedule, join us, and remember, Financial Fitness Challenge, your budget. Everyone have a great Financial Fitness Challenge week.